Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. It's an honor to be here on your dial. Maybe you're listening in on iTunes. We're very, very honored that you're listening in. And, of course, those of you listening in on stewardship.com, thankful for you as well. This is a call-in show. We're taking your calls and taking your emails today. The phone number is 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. And you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. What are we talking about? Why would you call in? Well, talking about managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Now, whether that be relationships, whether it be finances, maybe it's leadership. You know, we talk often about stewarding everything for God's glory. Now, I often talk about finances, relationship, and leadership. And of course, those are major overarching areas of our life. But have you ever thought about your words? Managing your words God's way and for God's glory. Or even better, your words on social media. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord." May the words that I type, I think is what it says. It doesn't say that, but now, some of you are saying, ouch. And some of you are saying, amen, Chris, preach it, brother. And while we're not condemning anyone today, I will give you a challenge today. Let's let our words reflect our faith, whether they're spoken, typed, or even thought. For more thoughts on this, our stewardship team has a great article called "How Does Your Social Media Presence Reflect Your Faith?" And it's right there at stewardship.com. So take a look, and hopefully it'll challenge you, but also encourage you. The phone lines are open. We got Orlando calling in. This is Jennifer. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah. I'm honored. You taking good care of Orlando today?
We're trying.
There you go. Yes, I'm sure. How can we help?
So I have a great aunt, and she is asking me for advice, and I'm not exactly sure what to tell her. So she is a widow. She has no children, nothing to leave anyone to, but she does have a paid for house. And so, she has like a $6,000 mortgage left on it. And her question to me was, if I want to take money out of the house, should I do it through a reverse mortgage? Because she doesn't want to leave it, to the state. She doesn't really have anyone to leave it to. And she would like to start traveling. She works. So she has enough money to live off of. She doesn't really need the money for income, but she would like to use the equity in her house to travel and do other things and live while she's still around to do so. So I told her everything I know about reverse mortgages is don't do it. But then again, I don't really know how else to tell her to use that money besides just selling the house, which she doesn't want to do.
Yeah. This often happens where you get backed into a corner and you think there's two options. This happens to all of us. And you think, okay, reverse mortgage, I know that's a horrible financial product.
Right.
Then you're like, we don't want her to pass away or graduate to heaven one day and not be able to experience everything she worked for. It's all sitting there in the house. Totally get
it. Exactly.
But there is a land in between, and I want to help you find it. And that is downsizing your home. That is living into something a little bit smaller. How much equity does she have?
I would think probably about $150,000. And so, you know, she's she's a little stubborn. She really likes her house, and she's done a lot of work to it. And I think there's some emotional attachment to it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, her husband passed away and that's where she, you know, she's kind of built her little nest, which I get.
Yeah.
And I don't want her to tell her to do the wrong thing, but I think she's feeling a little bit backed into a corner. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I told her. I said, you know, maybe you should just consider, if you don't really need the house and you want to travel, to downsize and look somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she's also said, well, you know, I don't have a mortgage payment. She's okay with it going back to the bank after she's gone. Not that that's a great situation either. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell her besides don't do a reverse mortgage.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice. I definitely wouldn't do that. I get the wrestle. I really do. The thing that's tricky on this is she doesn't know how much longer she's going to live.
Yeah.
She very well could live. How old is she?
I think she's 76.
Okay. Well, what happens if she goes on all this traveling and stuff and she lives another 20 years?
Right.
And then she doesn't have any money to her name and nowhere to live. she can't pay the
mortgage.
What's her income? Has she got a fixed income?
I don't know exactly what her income is, but she works kind of semi full time, just on an hourly basis, and she works and she tries to travel as much as she can, but she hasn't. I know that she has enough to pay her bills. She doesn't worry about that. Like she doesn't. But besides that, I don't think she has a whole lot of extra, and that's why she's thinking maybe she'll take some out to travel with.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to, I definitely cannot relate because I'm not there. That's a very unique situation, being widowed with no surviving children. That's definitely some unique variables. She may even want to just rent a little studio apartment for $500 a month or something like that. And then she's got $144,000 to her name that, of course, she doesn't want to go out and blow it all in 1 month.
Right, but
I think
maybe live off the interest.
Yeah, space it out and not have it all tied up in a house, but have it tied up in some semi-liquid investments. I guess the only thing I would really recommend is a mutual fund that you could have in there for 5 or 7 years. And 5 or 7 years is kind of like my line that I like to put in the sand for it to be worth all the fees. Because I'm not a big fan of CDs or anything like that. That's going to get 3 or 4%. But she can engage in some a little bit more conservative investments just because of her unique circumstance that she's not doesn't have 40 years for these things to mature. So
okay,
but yeah, it might be that. It might just be renting a studio apartment. And if she wants to travel, that's the most important thing to her. Not having 1,800 square feet, that's not important to her. Then maybe she goes to a studio apartment with 600 or 700 square feet and just downsizes and simplifies her life so she can do some experiences. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But not a reverse mortgage. It's not the bank shouldn't pay for all this. She should.
Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure.
Good advice, Jennifer. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vander Blumen Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vander Blumen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and it's just so great to have calls from all different walks of life and all different Russells that are out there, and that's definitely a unique one. I actually haven't had a call like that one in a while. You may be listening in, you're like, I didn't know reverse mortgages were so bad. I had no idea. Folks, they're horrible. Financing retirement with debt is a big mistake. You can't win with money by going into debt, especially when you're older. Reverse mortgages or these home equity conversion mortgages, the HECMs, they're available to homeowners who are at least 62 years old. The loan taps your home, your home's equity, and the bank gives you the money either as a lump sum or a line of credit or some kind of monthly draw. And you still pay property taxes, still pay the insurance and the cost of maintaining the home. But the lender can foreclose if you don't do that, if you don't pay for the insurance and taxes. And also, because the interest accrues over the life of the loan, your debt can ultimately exceed the value of your home. You don't make monthly payments, but if you sell the house or move out for more than 1 year, the loan is due and the income stops. If the house is sold upon your death, proceeds go to pay the loan. It's just not a good thing at all. There's origination fees, closing costs involved, mortgage insurance premiums for coverage to make up the difference if your home doesn't sell for enough to pay the loan off, a monthly mortgage insurance servicing fee, fees for mandatory credit counseling. I just don't like it. And so, of course, they obviously advertise lifetime income, never lose your home. And these false implications that a reverse mortgage is actually a government benefit rather than a loan. No, it's a loan. It's exactly what it is. So if there's any confusion about that, hopefully I've clarified quite a bit. All right, next up, we've got an email from KJ. It says, Chris and the team, love the podcast. I listen every morning and you always give me something to think about. Just listened to a past episode and you said God enables us. Can you talk more on that? Whenever I heard that someone enables somebody or another person, it has always been a negative thing. Thank you so much. Well, me too, KJ. Actually, that word is used in a negative context more often. The word actually does mean, though, to allow or permit, give the means for, to equip, to empower. So that's what a word really means. Most of the time when we hear that word, it's a negative thing. Enabling is doing something for someone else that they are unable to do for themselves. So yes, God does that for us. This negative enabling that you're referring to is doing things for someone else that they can or should be doing for themselves. That's the big difference. So it's actually used out of context. Here's some proof for you. That enabling, really, we're using it all out of context. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. It says, it is God who enables us. It's right there. Along with you to stand firm for Christ, he has commissioned us. There's a synonym for you. He's commissioned us, or he's enabled us. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he's promised us. So yes, he enables us. But you're right. We hear it in a negative way often. And so I wasn't saying it in a negative way. I promise God doesn't enable us in a negative way. He enables us in a positive way. Next up from Roy City, Texas, this is Jesse. Jesse, welcome to the show. How can I help?
I had a question. I'm got some credit card debt. I'm like $38,000 in from a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran four cards up. And I have this Freedom Debt Relief Program that wants me to, you know, help me with my debt. My question is, that would be a good way to go, or what would you suggest me do?
Well, to the folks that are listening in, they hear everything you've said, and they're like, duh, why wouldn't you do it? It's awesome. The bottom line is there's probably some fine print. Actually, I know there's some fine print. So whenever you're doing these kind of consolidation kind of things, they are going to probably going to increase the term. They're going to draw it out longer. They're going to put a fee on there, and you're going to feel nice and warm and fuzzy because your payment's going to go down. And the reality is all you did was take on more debt because they're going to put their fee into the balance. So I am just, as a general rule, I don't like consolidation. I just don't. I think it's the first three letters of that word, con. It's a con. Now, whether it comes from a bad heart or not, I don't know the owners of all these consolidation companies, so I'm not ripping on them as people. It's just not a good decision for you.
Right.
The best consolidation is elimination. So what I would suggest, Jesse, is for you to list all of those debts, credit cards and whatever else is out there. You're going to put them in order from smallest to biggest by balance, not interest rate. By balance, and what you're going to do is you're going to attack the smallest one first with a vengeance while paying minimum payments on all the rest. It's called a debt snowball, and you're going to knock off one at a time. And as one goes, you're going to take that, now that you're not having to make that payment, let's say you save now $20 a month because you're not having to pay that really small one, you're going to apply that $20 to the next one. and you're going to attack the next one with a vengeance, and all the rest are going to be minimum payments. And so the best consolidation is elimination. We're not looking for debt management. We're not looking for a debt kit. We're not looking for a debt consolidation. We're wanting to do a debt snowball. So stay on the line. I'm going to give you the total money makeover. It'll break this down a little bit further. And we want to make sure that we knock those out pretty quickly. There's actually an article that we've put up on stewardship.com called Why Debt Consolidation is Dangerous Territory. And that's a great resource as well. Well, folks, you've heard me mention how Financial Peace University changes people's lives. Actually, one of the things we teach in Financial Peace University, that class, is this whole idea of a debt snowball. Over the past 20 years, more than 4.5 million people have learned how to get out of debt, how to save, how to give, and how to make wise spending choices. But here's the thing. That class, FPU, Financial Peace University, is not led by a bunch of financial experts with big fancy degrees. It's led by people just like you, volunteers. Raise their hand and say, hey, I'll lead a class. And if you have a heart to help people, then you can lead a Financial Peace University class. It's that simple. You don't have to be out of debt already to lead. In fact, over 40% of people leading classes are going through the class for the first time. Or maybe you've led a class before, but it's been a while. We need you too. So listen carefully. If you want to help others get out of debt and not just point to a problem, but be part of the solution, start a class in your community. We have a special deal just for you. If you've never taken Financial Peace University, we'll give you 50% off our leader membership kit. Okay, that means you'll get everything you need to go through the class yourself and lead a different class for half the regular price. And if you've taken Financial Peace University, we'll give you the leader materials for free. These are incredible deals that don't come around very often. If you want to support the show, help us spread the stewardship message by leading a Financial Peace University class. Just visit stewardship.com and then click on, check it out, easy we made it, lead a class. You're just going to click that right there. You're going to fill out a quick form and you'll receive a call from one of our very friendly advisors. It really is that simple. Again, go to stewardship.com and click on lead a class.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We're grateful for all the stories you've been sending, the testimonies. Some of you have been sending words of encouragement to others in our stewardship community. Keep it up, and you'll encourage and give hope to others. Call us at 866-357-3283, 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, next up, this is Matt. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How can we serve you?
I'm calling because I sadly took out a lease on a car, and I rolled my old lease into it. And 3 days later, I read Total Money Makeover.
Oh.
Started making better decisions.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Brutal. Is it one of those things, too? Is it one of those things where you learned about Total Money Makeover, the book, and you waited a week to pick it up?
Actually, I had it for a week from my girlfriend's father beforehand.
Oh my gosh. That's the worst.
Yeah.
All right. So my guess is that you're trying to get out of it and you're wondering the best way to get out.
I've done a lot of legwork already. I know how much a dealer has to buy it for. It's $26,700. I know how much it's worth. KPB is $18,000. I know the difference of that is $9,000. And they say, you know, hand them the $9,000. They'll pay the rest. That could get rid of it. I could pay it for a few months and then do that as well. Or I could just keep the car, which is what a lot of people think. But my problem is it's $450 a month for the car and it's $300 for insurance. So that's $700 that I want to have my student loans and my $50,000 total debt between credit card and student loans paid off in a year, year and a half. With the car at those payments, it's going to be 4 years.
Okay. So 12 months, if you were to end this and stroke the $9,000 check, that decision would be better than sticking with the lease in about 12 months. So month 13 or 14, it makes more sense to do the buyout.
Okay. Well, I've also looked into, you know, I just got a second job today, which was great. So yeah. As of a month from now, I should have about $3,000 to buy a car, which I was going to do a negative equity auto trade for my loan or for my leased car, and that way I'd be out of it next month.
Okay, and then you'd owe...
I'd still owe the $9,000 as negative equity, and I would have the money paid off for the car, but basically I'd be on a new contract for $9,000 instead of $28,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then the primary motive on this is to make sure you improve your monthly cash flow, and second, which they're about equal as far as the most important thing, is number two is getting out of that lease. And I think that scenario gets you out of both.
Yeah.
Improves your cash flow and gets you out of the lease. But if it's it's probably a 4-year lease. Is that right?
That's a 3-year lease.
3-year lease. So, you know, you getting out of this, you're not going to save a full $700 a month because you're going to have to pay insurance on the new car.
Yeah, I get that. And probably $200 if I finance it a month as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, right, right. So it's a $500 savings. So it's probably about 18 months until this move pays off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a 36-month lease. So starting in month 19-ish, this is going to make sense and you're going to be in a better spot. So, and you're going to improve your cash flow throughout the entire journey. So I like it.
All right.
I definitely would get out of it though.
Yeah. Well, the only problem with that is, you know, buying a $3,000 car, they only go about 130% over that for the financing of it. So that's where the trick's coming in and what would be the best route.
Yeah, that is true. And so it might be one of those things where you have to wait 6 months until you've generated $9,000 worth of just cash to get out of it, which means you're going to have to pay, you know, $700 three more times or four more times until you get there. But that's obviously a cleaner way to do it.
Yeah, which is still better than the 4 years long term.
Yes, exactly. I do want to tell you, Matt, though, I know you're kind of kicking yourself a little bit. I just want you to be encouraged. People are impressed with our strengths. They're influenced through our weaknesses. I have made much bigger, horrible, non-brilliant decisions in my life, but I've leveraged them. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. His power is made perfect in weakness, not in strength. In weakness, in humility, it's being broken. I'm making a bad decision. It's like, oh, shoot, I messed up. And it says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So just leverage the mistake. Don't put your head in the sand and be all frustrated and mad and, you know, don't let it get to you too bad. Just learn your lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can tell other people, hey, stay away from those leases. It's the most expensive way to own a car.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be discouraged by it. Just, you know, hey, you know, just change direction. That's what repentance means. You change direction, go the other way. And it's fine. You just learn from it. It won't be the last non-brilliant decision that you make. You'll make another one, but hopefully not the same one, right?
No, no. Plus, I've already put my lessons to good use. I've already got a $1,000 emergency fund I built in 2 weeks.
I love it. Very cool stuff. Well, we appreciate the call, and we're cheering you on, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Got an email here from Mike. Says, I had the honor of hearing from you at Financial Coach Master Training. Your segment on stewardship was very inspirational and insightful. I'm also a daily listener to your podcast and have been listening for over a year. You've had a very big and positive impact on my journey to become a true steward of all of God's blessings. I want to let you know that your ministry has made a difference in my life and my family's lives. You, Chris Hogan, and Dave have inspired me to serve others as a FPU coordinator and now a financial coach. I hope to use this inspiration along with my training to bless others. Thank you for all you do. God bless. That's an email from Mike. Thank you, Mike. You have absolutely no idea how encouraging those emails are to all of us, not just for me and Chris Hogan and Dave and the other Ramsey personalities, but also our team, those that are working really, really hard behind the scenes. I will remind you, though, I did fully receive your email. It means a lot to me, but a reminder to all of us. We make the difference in our lives when we implement the things that we've heard. You've made the difference in your life, Mike, not us. It doesn't make any difference in your life just to hear something, but it's you've implemented it. You've either implemented generosity of your time and offering as a FPU coordinator and a financial coach, and obviously put these things into place in your own life with budgeting and saving and investing and avoiding debt. You're the one. You're the hero. I will say this about financial coaches, though. Financial coaches are heroes, and they are serving churches and communities faithfully. And those of you who are interested in becoming a financial coach, like Mike, if you want information on that, we will provide a link right there by this episode at stewardship.com, and we can take you on that journey. But very, very encouraging, Mike. We appreciate it. You are making the difference. Well, folks, that is it for today. Don't forget, Financial Peace University classes are opening all across the country, and we need your help to lead those classes, to facilitate them. All you got to be able to do is you got to love people, and you got to be able to push play on a DVD player and facilitate a very basic discussion. So if you have a heart to help people, then you can do it. If you want to lead a class, go to stewardship.com, click on lead a class, and we have some incredible deals waiting for you if you'll just raise your hand and volunteer. It's been a pleasure. Till next time, God bless you.